You are listening to WRUU Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Parenting Room 101. It's Friday, and I'm your host, Christy Sanborn. I am so excited to have you here today with us. Thank you for your time. I do not take that for granted. Time is such a valuable thing that we can't get back. So the fact that you're here today, I have my wonderful guest, Michael Ramsey, with us today. So thank you for joining us. I'm going to introduce him right here now. He is a proudly engaged young man. We'll find out how old he is soon. He's also a devoted father, an Army veteran. He's a long-time first responder. He's a New Jersey native. He's the founder of the Georgia Dad Tribe, and he's also a Savannah local. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, you sound great. Thank you for coming. Are you a Yankees fan? I have to ask that first.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
All right, deep breath, everybody. Just kidding. Just kidding. We can agree to disagree. I'm a Phillies fan. I don't expect anyone here in Savannah to be that. But I do live with my husband and son who are both Yankees fans. Mm. So we can appreciate that. Before we get started, I want to share this with everybody because I think it's worth sharing. This is our first time meeting. We've never met before. And as I was driving in today, I had my daughter in the car. And she said, well, who do you have on the show today? And I said, oh, this wonderful man, Michael. And she goes, well, how do you know him? I said, actually, I don't. She said, what? I said, no, that's the best part. We spoke on the phone briefly. I saw something you posted online mm-hmm. on a community group that we're both a part of. And immediately I said to myself, I need to talk to this person and have him come on to share. So you're here and I want you to share a little bit about what you're doing. Okay. Let's just go there with your tribe. Will you share how it started and what it means to you and what your day looks like when you're showing up for this?
Yeah, of course. So, mm-hmm. You know, once again, thank you for having me mm-hmm. here. I'm glad we were able to connect. And, you know, Dad Tribes is, we call it, a movement. It's a movement of men. And it's men who are fathers who get to come together and build an entire groundwork of generational wealth through knowledge, through camaraderie, through teaching different parenting tricks and tips, and just being able to have men get together. And, you know, it was really down here, it came out of this idea that before we were all fathers, we were all very social men. And whether mm-hmm. that was before our relationships or before, you know, we got into relationships and we would always go out with them, you know, with our misses, and we would always do all these things. And we always had a lot of friends. And then you hear about how more and more after you have kids, mm-hmm. you lose your friends, you lose, you know, your priorities change. So everything becomes work and being with your family, and that's incredibly important for the growth of those children, but you also need time for you at the same time. So what we found is that after a pandemic, after all of these other critical life-changing moments for people, they needed a place to be able to come together. And that was something that, you know, even I myself needed to find. So in April of this year, I was scrolling TikTok, go figure. And while I'm scrolling, I see a video from this gentleman, Andrew O'Brien. He says to me, he goes, all right, you know, we're starting a movement, a national movement of dads coming together. Find a chapter near you and let's be a part of this. And I said, oh, awesome. I can join a chapter like that. I can go hang out with a bunch of other dads, you know, from time to time. And I went to go look and it says, oh, by the way, there's none in the state of Georgia. And I went, okay. Oh. At that time, there was only, I'm going to say maybe 24 chapters across the country, and about 8 of them are in just Texas alone. It started in Texas. So it was able to expand. So I said, you know what? I said, I don't really want to invest my money into something right now. So I put, you know, I'm not a whole big religious guy, but I said, you know what? I'm going to put this up to the Lord. If it comes back in my life, I'm going to relook at it. And I completely got rid of it. I changed my algorithm settings, you know, so it wouldn't be something that would normally pop back up into my life. About 2 weeks later, a video came right back across my feed from it on both Facebook and TikTok. about the dad tribes with Lone Star Dads.
Wow.
And I said, well, it's come back into my life. Mm-hmm. I said I would reinvest it, you know, looking into it if that happens. So I looked into it and I decided to make the jump with my family. I invested my own personal capital to license a name. And then now that we have the pilot chapter in the state of Georgia, we're here building that community. And in under 4 months, we just crossed last night 1,100 dads locally. Mm-hmm. And we've hosted quite a few events between poker nights, fires, and we did a big Father's Day event, which got a great turnout from, you know, for being only a month and a half old at that point. Wow. Or so. We had all the local emergency services there, bounce houses. We had live music. We had food trucks, families who came out with their kids. Wow. And I can't tell you how many dads come together every single day. And I just see them talk about how grateful they are to even have the group, even if they can't make it out to events, being able to just network and talk to other people. And that to me is what I, you know, what I always say, as I created the space, but those fathers, they're the ones who make the Georgia Dad Tribe what it is.
Oh my gosh, so powerful what you just said. And I can see it in your eyes that it's so meaningful to you. Right? And it's not, yeah. And I like how you're presenting it in a way that it's not yours, right? It doesn't belong to you. You're just like a vessel, right? You're somebody who's providing a space. Maybe that's why it kept coming back to you, because maybe you were the perfect candidate to bring it here, because it doesn't seem, and I don't know you that well, but I'm a pretty good judge of character, I would say, and I don't sense a big ego from you. And I think that if you had one, it may not be as, I don't know, it wouldn't be growing as quickly as it's growing. Because I actually checked on it today. I was just doing a little bit of research, and I did notice that you are over 1,000 members already. And it said as of today, it was a plus 93 in the last week alone of men joining this. So, I mean, wow, this is so needed. I have goosebumps. I feel this is so important today.
It is.
And did you grow up in an all boys school? I'm just curious about that.
No, I didn't. So I actually grew up all through public education in New Jersey. I grew up in Ridgewood, New Jersey, in Bergen County. So I went through all of the public schooling there, and then I wanted to go to a college in Pennsylvania, and I wanted to go, you know, I was looking at all these different colleges when I was going, and I ended up going down to Rowan. I stayed local in New Jersey, and then, I transferred up to Ramapo, and I kind of stuck home, close to home, and it wasn't until the missus and I really got together, and when our son was on his way, and then the wonderful fees of New Jersey living, that we made the transition to come down here.
Exactly. We've been here 4 years now, Michael, and it's just been such a blessing to move from New Jersey to here. We were in more north of you, Livingston, New Jersey.
Yep.
And I mean, all good things to say about New Jersey. I have so many beautiful memories, great friends there. But here is also so beautiful, and it's just, it's so fun to be, I always say it's like a superpower to be from the North living in the South, because, right, it's just so different in so many ways. Yeah. But I don't know, I think our eyes are open to so many more things. We grew up, this may sound maybe not okay, or maybe, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but I feel like we grew up a little harder with that weather, honestly. You know, that weather can be really tough on you, especially as a kid. I remember just scraping my windshield, you know, at 16 years old, trying to get that 3-inch, you know, thick ice off before I had to get to school in the morning. So it kind of makes you a little stronger, I think, in a lot of ways. Our work ethic is a little different. We're just, but again, I think there's so many beautiful qualities about Southern people here too. What are your thoughts? What have you noticed here that's just, not only different, but also better?
So one of the reasons I fell in love with Georgia and I always wanted to move back here was actually because I fell in love with North Georgia area. When I went through all of my entry training for the military and I did all of my subsequent training after that, I was at Fort Benning. So I knew the Columbus area. I have family that lives there. And I had always said, this is such a beautiful area. It's almost like an untouched, untapped market style. And I just loved it. Yeah. So I said, well, eventually I'd like to get back down there, even if that's just a retirement. And, you know, I grew up being that kid that walked everywhere. You know, I lived with my grandparents. Yes. I lived in a split family. So if I wasn't with my mom, I was with my grandparents and on my dad's side. And so I was about 2 miles from high school. And so, like you said, when that weather hits, when it snowed and you had 6 to 8 inches, you trekked through the ice and the snow and you got to school. You had no choice.
No.
And, you know, and it's one of the things that I find very interesting when you come down here is that sometimes, you know, that just that little bit of adverse weather, just a little bit of rain is enough to throw everything out of balance here.
Yes.
But what I love is I love the grit and I love the determination of the people that, you know, those things don't stop people. And one of the things that I do truly value here is that, you know, in New Jersey, we always talk about how, you know, we want to be able to affect change. We want to be able to talk more. And then when we talk, we want to be heard. And then we want to see what we say gets done. And unfortunately, it's a very tight-knit area where that's very difficult to do that because there's so many people that they're doing the same thing. And it's not everyone's going to win. You come down here and between all of the various groups that are here, everybody is getting their voice out there. Everybody is able to speak. And when I see videos of people going to town hall community meetings and they actually voice their concerns and people listen and, you know, these projects that are coming up for a new infrastructure all around down here, if the people don't want it, from what I've seen, doesn't mean it always happens, but from what I've seen, they go there, they present their case, and if the people don't want it, it gets voted down. And it's not, or if they want it, it gets brought in or found a way to get brought in. It's that, you know, it's that determination they really have to get exactly what they feel is right for their area. And I love seeing it all the time.
Me too.
And the pride that comes with it.
Yes, there's a lot of pride for sure. And people are so accepting here. If you're not from here, they don't care. I mean, they may joke a little bit about your accent. I don't hear your accent too strong.
I think I'm starting to lose some pieces of it. I mean, I've been down here since May of last year.
Okay.
So not as long as you, but.
Well, I'm still pretty new. I can't say y'all authentically yet. Maybe in about 6 more years. I feel like I had to put the 10 years in before I can really do it. I'm not going to say it unless I actually feel like it's me, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about how old your son is and if you would share a little bit about his birth story. Is that something that you'd like to share? Yeah. I'd love to hear about how he came into the world.
Yeah, so my son is going to be 2 on September 10th. Oh. And he's actually currently with, right now, between my mom and the, we have a babysitter that's one of my coworkers. Her daughter has a daughter as well, so she comes and helps out with us. And so he's with her so I can be here, and my mom has been helping me because the missus went back to New Jersey this week. We wanted to surprise her a while ago, and I got her the concert tickets for the Jonas Brothers, so she's going to go with her best friend in New Jersey. I bought them both the tickets.
Wow.
And so she drove up yesterday, and she's going to be there till Tuesday. So I said, well, I'm working. I need a little bit of help, so my mom stepped in. So my son is he's just a beam of light. He's the best thing that could have ever happened to, you know, to us as a family. And he is just full of energy and laughter and all the play in the world. I mean, there's a point where you can't even say that words can describe how you feel when you look at him. And when he enters the room and he runs in and you see that smile and you hear that laugh as he's running, it's just a priceless moment. You know, he was a rough pregnancy for her. So my fiance, she's 4'11".
Oh, wow.
So not only has she got a smaller frame, she was also a firefighter and an EMT with me in New Jersey. Wow. And so trying to do all of that while pregnant was a whole big thing.
Can't imagine.
And then when she was able to, she got onto light duty, which at least got her off the ambulance for a little while to finish out the pregnancy. And Jackson was continually challenging. So between not always being able to get the right pictures of him, he also wouldn't do the flip. Did have to be a C-section. But I have to say it was one of the, I mean, as a paramedic, I've been through plenty of C-sections. I've seen plenty of, you know, I've delivered kids. I've done all of the interesting things you can say is, you know, that most people would think it is. And But being there and actually that being your child, it was one of the, it was probably the, you know, we had a conversation, us dads, and I had said that was the last time that I really felt like a man, is when my son was born. And I was there, and I was able to hear that cry, and I was able to see him for the first time, and I was able to be a part of that experience, even though I was sitting back, you know, at the with the anesthesiologist and, you know, my fiance is just her little head that's sitting there, you know, behind that curtain. It was still just a wave of emotions, and it was like, you know, I, you know, we did that, and that's, you know, and he's ours. And then the next couple days after that was tough because I was finishing my bachelor's at the same time. So when I wasn't at the hospital with her, I was at school sitting in class learning. And then when I was done with that, I was driving right back to the hospital, and I was doing schoolwork while I was learning how to take care of a newborn and help her get everything she needed to get done and try and progress and learn and make sure she got enough sleep while sleeping in the hospital with her, and then going home and taking care of the animals and coming back. And it was an exhausting couple of days for her. And so I was like, yeah, since, you know, well, you're doing you, I'm going to take care of the rest of it. And we definitely took for granted using that nursery to send him back on some nights when you needed just a little extra sleep, and letting them, you know.
You let them have the baby, you're saying, for a little while?
Yeah,
we did.
We took advantage of that opportunity on probably day two.
Okay.
The first night we slept with him in the room with us. Mm-hmm. And then when it came to day two, she was a lot more had taken out of her. I mean, she went through a whole surgery, right? So, so she had a lot that got taken out of her, and I was running back and forth, and I was still incredibly tired. And we both agreed that it would be nice to just be able to get a couple hours of solid sleep.
Yes.
So we asked them to take him for 4 hours, and they took him in the back day between feedings, and they took him into the nursery. They watched over him, and then they brought him back to us, and then we resumed taking care of him. And throughout the day, while she was in the hospital, they would take him for testing, and then they would, you know, getting everything they need to do, and they told her, hey, we're going to keep him in the nursery for a little bit to let you rest a little more. So they were also very, very cognizant of that. And his, you know, while it's not a lavish kind of birth story in that sense of, you know, of going through that entire process, he's still our little bundle of joy that was there. And, you know, a quote unquote emergency C-section kind of thing. Her blood pressure was elevated when we went to the hospital because she thought her water broke. He was delivered a day after we moved into our brand new house.
Was that expected then? Was he early or late? Or
he was 3 days early, okay, just about. So it was about the right time. But we had my neighbor in New Jersey, Rob. He was such a funny man. The first day we bought the house, and I had gone over there to look at everything, he was standing outside with a beer in his hand. He goes, hey, you want to join me? I went,
that's great.
Yeah. He goes, what do you like? These are my two options. I go, I'll take one of the two. And so I took one, and I stood in his driveway, and we were talking, and I told him, you know, it's the new neighbor. Turns out I worked for Hackensack Hospital as a paramedic. He worked for our North Campus at Pascack Valley as a security officer. Wow. And I had seen him multiple times when I was up there as a paramedic working, and I didn't even know who he was. And then he turns out to be one of our best neighbors. I would see, we both worked overnights. So I would see him every morning. I'd come home from work, and we would sit out front on his driveway at 7:45 in the morning. I'd have a coffee. He'd have his after work drink and a cigar. And we would just talk for hours and watch as, you know, the kids would walk down to school with their parents, and we would watch families. And then he used to always tell, he goes, I'll never forget it. You guys moved in, and the next day you're at the hospital with a baby.
Amazing. That's called nesting, right? When they say, like, you get everything ready for the baby. Yeah. Maybe your fiance was finally at that point physically ready to have the baby, now that there was a safe place to have.
Yeah.
I think there's so much research done about that too, that when a woman really does feel safe and secure, then she's more fertile, I think.
Yeah.
It's been my experience anyway. So talk to us about what, well, let's say this. If there's any dads out there that are, or maybe they're expecting a baby for their first time, right? Their first time dads coming up soon. What advice would you give them before that baby comes into the world, since you've already been a dad now for a while?
I'd say the most important thing is to learn your patience. And I say that not because maybe people can't control their tempers or can't control what's going on with them, but more so is you know, your significant other, whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, your fiance, yourself, they're going through a mix of emotions, a mix of hormones, a mix of chemical imbalances. And something I had to learn was that, you know, as much as I had known and always loved my fiance, when we were going through that in those beginning first couple weeks, we were starting to have some clashes between the two of us. And I had realized a lot of it was because I wasn't listening to everything she was saying, because I was so focused on telling her to relax, telling her to just, you know, I got the first 2 weeks off. So I was taking care of everything and trying to also encourage her to get up and move. And because they said she's got to keep moving,
right.
You know, she can still lay down and obviously relax, but you know, the movement is what helps kind of unstiffen everything. And yes. She only had 2 weeks, and then I had to go back to work, and we had a very limited support system with a lot of things. Even though her family and mine were there, everybody was working.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so through all of that, though, I really lost touch of my patience. Mm-hmm. And I was finding myself getting upset or getting angry at things. And the response I had to that was that I needed to learn to take a step back and evaluate and think about not just what she's going through, but how I am putting that together with what she can actually, you know, what she feels like she can go through or what she can't. Mm-hmm. And so learning that patience really helped be able to listen and to hear and to build a stronger bond between the two of us without, you know, throwing everything away right away when everything changes, right? I mean, you have a child and everything changes. The studies have even shown that chemically a lot changes inside of a woman's body, a woman's brain, and everything when that baby is developing to when the baby's born.
That's right.
And so with all those changes, you have to learn to adapt to it. And I think as first time dads, we have we have an expectation that we can do it and that we know we can do it, and we all can, but it's those little things like learning about patience, learning about how to sit and listen to your partner, learning about how to effectively communicate with your partner when there's something you don't like, and then making sure that you stick to that, because the baby sees and feels everything.
Yes.
And even in utero, the baby feels everything mom feels.
Yes.
And if mom is stressed and mom is super anxious, baby's going to be stressed and anxious. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times as first-time dads, you know, we say we've got, you know, we're going to be strong, we do this, but like when I listen to and I talk to a couple first-time dads, it's invigorating, I should say, to have them be able to be comfortable enough to talk to me and say, I'm actually really nervous about this. I don't know how to handle this.
Right.
And being able to say to them, well, let's go grab a cup of coffee or let's go sit and have a drink around a fire and some cigars. And or let's go to a poker night with a bunch of other men and let's talk and let's actually talk out what you're feeling. And if it's something that I've gone through, I will tell you, hey, I've gone through this. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something I haven't, I know I learned over the years, especially through emotional intelligence, that if, you know, we're so quick, and this comes in relationships as well, we're so quick to say, I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is 90% of the time we say that we don't understand
exactly
what somebody's been through.
How could you understand?
Right. So
no.
It's just become a statement where we can say, oh, I understand, as a way to try and connect. But that's not actually the connection. Giving validation to how they feel by saying, I can't imagine what you're going through, but if I was in the situation, this is how I would handle it. Or I can't imagine what you're going through. Do you mind if I share what I might do? And being able to have that conversation, and you know, you're giving them the support they need, mm-hmm. but you're not downplaying what they're feeling by saying that you've never been there, but you're going to say you have been.
That's so fair. And you're just building a bridge there, right? Yeah. Like, I see you and I'm over here, but maybe we can build that bridge and meet halfway. And also the validation piece is huge too. Like, if I were you, I would be feeling the same way you're feeling right now, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Right? I have no idea what that feels like, but I'm sure I'd be there too.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, maybe they just, like you said earlier, they just want to share what's on their mind with a cigar and a fire pit. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't have anyone they respect or trust to share with. Maybe they're just used to being told, you'll figure it out. You're a yeah. man. You should know better. Right? What are you hearing the most around these fire chats? Like, what would you say the most common struggle is for a lot of dads out there? Is there a common theme right now that you're hearing more than ever?
I think there's a couple themes
okay.
that are common. And one of them is that men miss being social. And they miss having that time to just go out and be with other men, whether they bring their kids with them or not. Mm-hmm. Most of the events I put on, I don't tell you can't bring your kids.
Okay.
Because you know what? Like if I'm watching my son's coming with me.
Exactly.
And he's a part of it. You know, right. I'm a father, so he's going to be a part of it. And then right. if the missus frees up and she can come grab him from me, then you know she'll come snag him, and then I'll be like, all right, I'll see you guys in a little bit, I'll finish the event I'm at, and then you know, so on. So I don't ever discourage fathers from feeling like they can't come somewhere because of their children, but that builds into that social aspect. People are, you know, they talk about how they miss being social, they miss having that space, and by being able to be here and be a part of that, they're getting that back. And then the other thing that I'm actually getting a lot more messages about this right now.
Okay.
Is I'm getting a lot of messages from dads who are in the community, who are reaching out, and they want to share the hardships of their life stories with me, and how they became a father, or how they ended up in the position they're in. And then that turned into, thank you for just being there to listen. And I tell every single father that talks to me about that, and it's growing. Every day I get a new message from a new father in the group, right? There's over now, like I said, I think we're at 1,105.
Mm-hmm.
And amazing. Every day I get a new dad who reaches out and is learning to be able to come forward, to feel comfortable enough to have that conversation. And I tell every single one of them, I hope one day you feel confident enough to share your story with the community. Because it's not, again, this community is not about mm-hmm. me, it's about them. And mm-hmm. them being able to be open and yes. and realize that they're not the only ones who are going through
yes.
that situation. And I get a lot of good feedback from that, thankfully. A lot of dads say, you know, I will eventually, you know,
mm-hmm.
excuse me,
sure.
I will get there. But thank you for being the starting point. And I tell them all the time, I said, of course, that's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
So every so often, like last night, I went on and I put out probably a, you know, 5 to 7 paragraph. Hey, this is me. This is who I am. This is my little story. And I tell the story not because I want to thank you, right? I don't want... I don't want the praise behind it.
Mm-hmm.
What I want is for people to understand that there's one solid thing that brings us together in that community, and that's that we're fathers. And the community is for them. It's built by them. And therefore, being able to share those experiences or finding commonality between us makes it easier for you to share those stories. And then from there, you find that more people actually relate to you than what you think.
Two things come to mind when you're saying this. The first one is, I've been to an AA meeting before, mm-hmm. okay? And I noticed there at the time, that time, there was lots of men in the room. And I'd say out of the, say, 15 men, like 13 of them were willing to share
mm-hmm.
about their day, their week, their relationship, maybe they were happy to share about how far they've come with their journey and how many years it's been since they had a drink. Regardless, there was something so powerful about sitting in a room full of people that don't know each other, no shame, and just being able to share. Mm-hmm. So what you're building here, to me, sounds very similar to that situation where there's a need for this outlet, right, for men to stand up and talk and share and be heard, and even maybe a pat on the back once in a while. Like, hey, I'm proud of you. I've seen you now here for a while, and I can tell that you're better. Mm-hmm. You've changed. I'm now looking up to you in a way that you're someone I want to be more like. I think that's what men want, don't they? Especially if they don't have a father figure that they can really look up to. Is that what they...
I don't think that men crave the praise as much as it's more of just a... We want some recognition, right, okay, for the things that we do. Because when you're growing up as a man, you know, and not every man has had this experience, mm-hmm, but this is something, you know, that I went through with the military and growing up with the way that I grew up and working in emergency services and talking to thousands of people in all my years of doing that, is that a little bit of validation of just every once in a while saying, I see you, mm, I hear you, is enough to keep you going and or bring you into a new path that you can then start to believe it yourself, right? Like,
yes,
you know, we as men have always prioritized and pushed, you support your woman, you support your family, you support your life, and you give praise to that. And it's very uplifting for the family, and it's wonderful. But we do it to everybody else. We don't usually do it to ourselves. And being able to do it to ourselves or have somebody else who can do it for us that's outside of our family, mm-hmm, who doesn't see what we do every day, but when they get a glimpse of it, they say, no, thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being here. You know, one thing that I started doing, and this is going on 1, 2, 3, this will be our fourth Friday I'm doing it, is I do a feature Friday. So the father in the community who is the most engaged, who talks, you know, networks with the other dads, who, you know, posts funny stories, who posts relatable content. I can see that all through the analytics. And I go in there and I write a little synopsis about them. And I post them out to the main group and I put them right in the spotlight. And I say, hey, thank you for being here. Thank you for being you, and thank you for being engaged in this, as well as, you know, I talk about how great of a family person they are, or as a father they are. With some dads, I've been able to reach out to their significant others, and I actually ask the spouses, can I get a picture of you and them together, and then a short little story, like, or a synopsis that you have about them and how they make you feel. And I include that in there to show that their family is still a part of this. They're still a part of this. They're a part of us. And sometimes I get successful with that. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, I mean, I'm sending a message to somebody I'm not friends with on Facebook. So sometimes the message gets seen. Sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
And so if it doesn't get seen, I have to, you know, kind of put something I can together, and I make, mm-hmm, it work. But it's a way to feature these dads and to feature these men to say, hey, you know, I see you. Doesn't matter who else is saying it, but I see you, and yes, I thank you for being here.
Well, that's so beautiful, and thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you. How many years were you?
I served 8 years in the infantry.
Wow, thank you. I'm also a barber. That's something that I do. I've been doing it for a very long time. I do work a few days a week here in Savannah, and so I've been working with men for a very long time.
Okay.
And I'd love an opportunity to get a man in the chair who's willing to talk and share about what's going on in his life. And a lot of them do. They want to. If they feel safe, they will. And I think that I see a lot of men that are really well off with their family. They're in good, you know, a good place. They have healthy relationships with their wife and the kids. And then there's others that have kind of fallen off the rails, you know, and you can tell that they're just, I don't know, they're chasing something that doesn't exist, or they've lost their way. Mm-hmm. And, well, what would you say to somebody that that's in that situation that maybe has lost their way and maybe their relationships aren't as strong as they could be? What would be the first step for them?
You know, that's something interesting to ponder, right? Because, you know, I was there. And okay. I'm still getting out of that crawling out of that space myself, right? I think every man is or feels that they are in some way, shape, or form. Even though they're well off with their families, there's still a struggle. There's still something they feel, and they're trying to get out of that. And, you know, my fiance and I have had a rough time since our son was born, really reconnecting and building that relationship, which is why I mentioned before that patience becomes a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And every day we're finding ways to crawl up that mountain and yes. really, you know, have that beautiful, strong, amazing connection that people look at and go, I want to be like them, you know? And I think that's the reality of it is that not every relationship is perfect.
Right.
Not every day is a great day. Looking at your significant other and just waking up or just seeing them, even if it's only once a day, you get the opportunity to say that you love them, right? I mean, my fiance, for the first time in a long time, she said, you know, she felt like a woman again because she got to get her hair cut since she got down here.
Yes.
And, you know, and she was able to get that done because she finally had the time mm-hmm. to go and do it. And between all of our crazy lives, and she came back, and the first thing I told her when she got in the house is that she looked very beautiful. Now, I was in the middle of writing an email for the tribe
mm-hmm.
and trying to network with other people. And when, you know, she came in, I made it a point to at least take a moment to stop and to give that small compliment. Even though in the moment it was only a small compliment, it was still something for the day that I could do for her
mm-hmm.
and or for that hour that I could do for her. And then, you know, we had a long conversation, and I think that's important, is the communication side of it, right? Is being able to talk. And, you know, and we both recognize that we have not spent a whole lot of time recently
mm-hmm.
going on date nights or
right.
cuddling and watching a movie in bed, you know, something just as simple as that. And that, you know, that I have spent a lot of my time prioritizing making sure that I can be there for other people and help other people. Kind of that drive I've always had since I was a kid, that, you know, to be there for somebody else, not for me, but for somebody
exactly.
else.
Yes.
And that has taken its own pull on me from my own relationship. So when we talked and we sat down and we, you know, we really had that open conversation after my son had gone to bed, we said, okay, so we watched a movie that night. I turned off the phones. I turned off the laptops. I turned off Dad Tribes for a night. And I said, we're going to spend this time together because this is necessary. And then a couple days later, I had told her, I said, by the way, we're clearing our schedule. I'm taking another night off Dad Tribes. We're going out to dinner. We didn't go to my favorite restaurant because I don't have one down here. Because if it's up to me, I'm going down to the river and I'm going to be enjoying watching the ships come in.
Okay.
But also parking is atrocious down here.
It can be.
So,
right.
But she loves Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh.
And she loves the one in Pooler. And
okay.
it's one of her favorite little pieces of Jersey that she loves that she can enjoy while she's here.
Okay.
So I said, she's like, where are we going? I said, we're going to go to your favorite place. And so we drove out to Buffalo Wild Wings. We got her food. We got me food. We got, you know, we tried a new food for our son, and he loved it. And we just had a couple hours just together. And then we came home, and, you know, we relaxed and spent some time together. So I think that when you're going through those trenches and you're trying to figure out how to crawl back from it, it's not just understanding that you're not alone. You're not the only person who could be going through that, right? I mean,
that's right.
You look at what we're doing here with Dad Tribes, between me working a full-time job, me doing Dad Tribes in between all of that, and I'm finishing my MBA in October, and
wow.
putting all of that together, you know, it may look like I've got it all handled, but at the same time, you know, I still have my own struggles that I'm working through with my own relationship and making sure that that is always remains solid and first. And
mm-hmm.
so being able to start that communication outlet really helps to build the framework to get you out of that feeling like you're in the trenches and you have nowhere else to turn when it comes to your relationship.
Definitely. And I think from a wife's perspective, the best gift that a husband could give you, along with a few others, but to me, is the space. You have to be, you have to hold space for your partner. So when you come home at night and maybe you had a long day as a man and you were working and you were taking care of things and doing all those masculine things, women, we need a place where we can share. And when we sit down together to cuddle, like you said, which I love, there has to be some space to listen. Mm-hmm. So if you can just, as a man, hold that space for us so we can share what's on our mind, because it all goes back to the beginning of time where they were hunters and gatherers, mm-hmm. and women would gather all day and wait for their men to come home so they could share what was gathered. And if they didn't have an opportunity to share that, well, that just builds resentment and distance, and well, it could be awful. So just know that 15 minutes of time that you devote to just having that space for your partner, mm-hmm. to share, hey, honey, how was your day? And then ask her when she's done. Maybe she went on for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just say something like, well, what else? Is there anything else?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'd love to know more. Tell me more about that. Just hold a little more space if you can. Mm-hmm. It just goes so far, especially when there's kids involved. She wants to tell you about the kids. She wants to tell you about the day and what she's looking forward to and all those things. It's so great. We're going to take a quick break with Michael. When we come back, I have a couple more questions for you. I won't ruin it. So everybody hang tight. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Be right back.
The work of Savannah-based printmaker Deborah Oden will be on display as the Whistling in the Dark solo exhibition in the Ellis Gallery at Arts Southeast, 2301 Bull Street in Savannah, from July 4th through August 16th. In this collection of works, Oden explores the roles of abstraction and play as methods of navigating the beauty and chaos of contemporary life. More information can be found at artssoutheast.org. Art Southeast is seeking vendors for the Sulphur Studio Street Fair as part of the October First Friday in Starland on Friday, October 3rd from 5 to 9 p.m. The street fair is being held on 39th Street between Bull Street and DeSoto Avenue and celebrates exhibit openings, continuations, and closings. More information and application can be found at artsoutheast.org/street-fair-app.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
Hi, I'm WRUU's international music host, Mike. Are you rockers tired of hearing Free Bird and Stairway to Heaven 100 times a day? Join me every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Rock in the World, a unique, one-of-a-kind blend of rock and roll from around the globe, from indigenous music to folk rock to death metal. You've got it all.
Welcome back to Parenting Room 101. I'm your host, Christy Sanborn. Every Friday, 12:05, you can find us here. So back to Michael. Michael, I would love to know, well, first of all, how can more men get involved in your mission? Is there a place where they can find you or any resources you'd like to share with us here?
Yeah, sure. So we're a big base for us is on our Facebook page. We're at the Georgia Dad Tribe of Savannah. And that is really our central hub. So that's where I communicate with everybody. That's where everybody comes together. We have a whole bunch of side group chats for everything from parenting to marriage tips to automotive to, you know, and anything a dad is interested in. We either have a group chat or we can make a group chat because, you know, that brings more people together. So we are there. That is our main way of communicating. And that's where I really set up all the events. But also, the national chapter, Dad Tribes, has okay. a app on the App Store and iOS. I'm sorry, that is iOS on Google Play as well. And you can download the app. You can create a profile, which everything again, every the big thing we do is that everything to the best of our ability is free for dads. So by doing that, you know, it's free to join a Facebook page. It's mm-hmm. free to create a profile on the app. And then you just select that you want to be in the Savannah chapter. And right now, it doesn't have a great way for us to do the interaction in spite of like talking, kind of like, you know, like the Facebook Messenger app, we can talk, we can communicate. Facebook, we can talk, we can communicate. It hasn't been built into there yet.
Okay.
But it's a space where all of our events are posted. And I say that because our dads, there's a large group of dads that don't have Facebook. And it's important yes. to know that even if you don't have Facebook, while you won't get all of the conversation that happens, you can still see when the events are happening and where they're happening. So if you have the ability, you're local, you can show up. You can come to it. You can still be a part of it. You can still know, oh, I can be at, say, Richmond Hill, the Fire on the Hill, and with, you know, where Georgia Dad Tribe is partnering with another local community leader and business owner to, you know, to bring his great experience for men together. Or, hey, there's going to be a poker night in Pooler. Oh, I'm actually down, you know, I'm down the block from there. Let me reach out to them. Mm-hmm. Let me say on the app, hey, I'm going to be there. And then I know, and I tell the guy who's managing poker night, hey, we got another dad who's not going to show up from this count. He's going to be, you know, from the app side. And they're aware of their head count. They know what they have, what they can do. Just like tonight, there's a poker night in Pooler. We did our first one last Friday.
Really?
And we had 9 guys who came out in total, including the homeowner. And it went from 8 p.m. till midnight. And wow. it was just laughter, stories, games, just great memories of being together. And the gentleman who's running it, he said that, you know, we didn't disturb his baby, we didn't disturb his wife, everything was well. And she said, as long if this is, you know, something you guys want to do, she opened her door to every Friday for us. So we're doing it every other Friday, but this week we're doing it impromptu so that other dads who can't make it on that every other Friday schedule can still come out and have a good time. And I just saw the count today. We have 8 people, including the homeowner, who's going to be there tonight with spaces for up to 2 to 3 more, and he has a whole nother table. He can do up to 16 people he can have in his house for poker night and or game night, if we, you know, if anybody doesn't want to play poker. And, you know, old gentleman style, obviously. You know, we use Monopoly money as your quote-unquote buy-in, since, okay. you know, you can't use real money in okay. this area.
I was curious about that, but
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, okay. You can't use real money, so we use, you know, either Monopoly money or it's just a fake buy-in. You just say, hey, you know, I'd like to, you know, we're going to say everybody threw $20 in. All right, here's the, you know, here's the chips. Kind of keep it, quote-unquote, somewhat authentic
yes.
without actually ensuring that you're breaking any, you know, any laws. We don't want to get ourselves in trouble and other dads and obviously in trouble. So we make sure that, you know, if people want to do events or host things, that anything that they do put together, we make sure that, you know, it not only protects them, but it also protects us. So we can continue to build this entire space for everybody. So so the app and the Facebook page are the two biggest ways to get involved with us. But the Facebook page is obviously the better alternative of the two, since you can actually communicate at that point.
So I want to ask this. I feel like I need to ask you, if a man were someone who was a little more on the shy side
mm-hmm.
and maybe introverted
mm-hmm.
and he would like to get involved with something like this, but it's overwhelming to think I'm going to come to a poker night with a bunch of men I don't know, or a fire chat again with a bunch of people I've never seen before. How do you approach something like that? Do they look for you specifically at these events?
So what I say to men who feel that way, because that was me, right? And that's still me. I'm still a very introverted person. I'm learning how to be an extrovert by doing all of this.
Yes.
I've always been that guy who's in the corner. So mm-hmm. What I say to those people is, join the Facebook group. You don't have to talk. You don't have to say anything to anybody. If you want to start coming to events, talk to me. Reach out to me personally. Let us talk. I'll meet you somewhere. If I have, you know, some time off before an event you want to go to, I'll meet you somewhere. Let's sit in an open parking lot and just, you know, sit on a tailgate. Let's talk. Let's interact. Let's become, you know, familiar bodies for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you see me at an event and you know I'm going to go to an event, come to that event. If you want to make that jump and you want to go out on your own or make a new friend with somebody else in the group, maybe you see somebody posting about something you like. Maybe now, you know, you interact with them. Because I was going to every event. Now I'm trying to build that balance between being not at every event and letting these, I call them tribal champions, the men in our tribe that take it upon themselves to set up events and to plan and put together. I want them to know that I support them and I have them. So I'll show up to usually the first or second event that they put on. And then after that, I'm like, this is yours. It's your event. It's your community building thing. You're the tribal champion to this. I'm always here. And then maybe I'll take that night to go take my son out with the wife, and you know, we'll go walk somewhere, or mm-hmm. you know, we'll go do something. Mm-hmm. So
they can reach out to you personally then. Somebody correct. Who's not sure, join the Facebook page, speak to you, maybe you'll make time and meet with them. Has that happened with somebody?
Quite a few actually. Okay. And a lot of dads that does happen with, we end up, I've gone and met with them. In, you know, some dads, I was already out at an event for another, you know, for other dads, supporting them and their band, and, you know, I'm playing at a bar downtown in Savannah, a little dive bar. And then somebody commented that, you know, they were just in a really bad space and they needed somebody to talk to if there was a fire somewhere. And I left and I drove across the county and I met them in a parking lot. Excuse me. And I sat and I talked with them for about 3 hours. And I said, let's just sit and let's just talk what's going on. And next thing you know, that turned into a dad who now shows up to not only all the events, who's never reached out before. He's come to know almost every one of our events that we've networked, you know, with. He and I talk every single day. He texts me every day. We check in with each other just to make sure he's okay. And because he shared as well to the community, the fact that he reached out and somebody showed up, that spiraled to where now so many other dads have started to reach out.
Yes.
Dads who were in that, you know, that space where they weren't really sure, you know, how to reach out or how to that comfortability to get somewhere. And once one person does something, then a lot more people start to follow. And that's the power behind it.
Oh, so great for anybody out there listening who may be in need or search of something like this. I was even saying today that there's so much value in, I think, just going to an all-boys school as a kid, if you were fortunate enough to do that, because you build those relationships, those mm-hmm. core relationships early on that you tend to carry with you through life. Although that doesn't always happen as you get older. I feel like women, we have an easier time making friends. Most of us, I can't speak for all of us. I know there's some women that struggle. But with men, they tend to be a little more grounded and maybe just more family oriented, where they're mm-hmm. afraid to take the time for themselves, or they're not sure how to make a friend outside of work or their home or the golf course, right? Yeah. This is just such a great resource for them. And again, so they're sharing their feelings around the fire pit. Is that what you're saying? Like they're just...
Not even just a fire pit. It's literally everywhere. And anywhere, great. Some dads, whether it's Facebook Messenger, whether it's, you know, we had a family who in Rincon, he wasn't a dad in our community, but he's still a dad. And the family lost their whole home to a fire and they had nothing. And I, just like you, I was scrolling through Facebook pages and I saw the neighbor post about it. And I said, that's dad.
Yes.
We got to be there. You know, that's part of what we do. And so I put out a feeler, and in just one weekend, I met with that dad on a Monday. This past Monday, mm-hmm. I just met with him and gave him a black bag full of supplies from diapers to kids' toys to kids' clothing from families, clothing for him, two totes worth, a couple boxes of diapers as well. And
sorry to interrupt you. I could hear you talk for hours, but we only have a few seconds
that's
left.
Okay.
Thank you for coming on, Michael. Can't wait to hear more about your project and support you any way we can.
All right.
Thanks
Thank
for your
you.
Time. See you guys next week.